You're listening to EPN, the e-podcast network, your guide to business and personal success.
This EPN special edition is brought to you by Audible.com, the internet's leading provider of audiobooks with more than 75,000 downloadable titles across all types of literature, including fiction, nonfiction, and periodicals. For a free audiobook of your choice, go to audiblepodcast.com/EPN.
What are the concerns that people have as you talk with them all around the world?
Well, I think there's a lot of concerns right now about the business situation, what's happening. We're seeing governments doing things that are, I think the economic term is, really stupid. And that's the technical economic term.
Very technical. But we'll define that in the footnotes.
But the thing is, it's up to us. We can control our own lives. And when you think about it, no matter what a government does, and I'm talking about any government anywhere in the world, throughout history, so I'm not pointing to any one government in any one country. I'm saying the key is, it's up to you.
The ePodcast Network, supported by the most renowned success stories in business today. Subscribe today and never miss another show on EPN.
This is Jessica Eves Matthews. Join me for Foundations of Business Brilliance right here on EPN.
This is Eric Dye, and you have tuned in to EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Today, we are with Dr. Elizabeth Lombardo, clinical psychologist, physical therapist, and author of the best-selling book just caught off the press, A Happy You, Your Ultimate Prescription for Happiness. She says effectively coping with stress is a skill just like playing golf. Dr. Elizabeth Lombardo, welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's such a pleasure to be here.
Likewise. Dr. Elizabeth, what are some of the most common situations that cause stress?
Oh, how long do we have to talk? No, I'm just kidding. I would say some of the most common ones are the economy. I hear a lot about the economy. Health, relationships, loved ones, spouse or lack of a spouse, work or lack of a work, children or lack of children, our schedule. Life is just stressful. There's too much to do.
Do you think it has anything to do with technology? Because, I mean, were people stressful 30 years ago or even 15 years ago like this?
You know, it's ironic that the technology that's supposed to help us save time really is increasing our stress. And I think one of the main reasons why is it's not so much technology, it's expectations because of the technology. It used to be in the olden days when I was young, my dad would come home at 5 o'clock and that was it. That was okay. Very rarely did he get a phone call about work and you really left work at the office. But now there's an expectation, oh, well, I'll just text them, I'll just email them, I'll call them, because we always have the ability to be on. There's an expectation that we always, quote, should be on.
What would be the best starting place in dealing with one's current stressful situation?
Well, you know, one of the most important things to remember is that when we handle stress, we can do it in two major strategies, two major approaches. And sometimes we think, oh, I'm in a stressful job, I have to get out of it. And maybe that's the case, and that is one approach, but there's a whole other approach. So let me take a moment and step back, and this is true for any stress that we have. There are two major strategies, again, to dealing with stress, and we call them problem-focused or emotion-focused. So I'll give an unrelated example. Let's hypothetically say I'm afraid of the dark, and I'm in my office, and there are no windows in my office, and the lights go out, and I start having a panic attack. What are some things that I can do to help my stress in that situation?
Try to turn the lights on.
Exactly, turn the lights on. What else could I do?
Well, if they go out, call for help.
Call for help, absolutely. So I could turn the lights on, I could call for help, I could open the door, maybe the lights would come in. I could turn my cell phone on so I'd have more light. All of those are what we call problem-focused coping. So we're changing the situation. It's dark, we're making it light. And that's definitely important. There's also a whole nother approach, which is emotion focused, changing my emotional reaction. And that may be something like doing some deep breathing, doing relaxation, reminding myself that I'm just as safe as I was when the lights are on, if the lights are off, calling a friend to help me get through it. Those are emotion focused strategies. So whereas most people may not be afraid of the dark, we can certainly apply this in our everyday life. So at work, if it's a job that you can't stand, some people say, well, I'm in a bad job, I'm stressed at my job, I got to get out, but I can't leave my job because I don't have the money. That is one approach, but there's so many other things you can do. You can address the job itself. Maybe it's your boss you're having communication problems with. You can address it with him or her. There's also this whole other realm of changing your stress, your emotional reaction. So people who, for example, just to continue with this, if people are in a tough job, what they might want to do is periodically throughout the day schedule positive events. Maybe they get a joke of the day email, or maybe they have a friend who they can kind of text something and it'll help bring their stress down. Or maybe they do relaxation exercises or deep breathing. Or maybe instead of going to the bathroom that's on the hall, they walk up a flight of stairs so that they get a little break and they get a little exercise. That would be emotion-focused coping. And so what I hope people hear is, regardless of your stressful situation, regardless of what's going on, there are steps you can take even if you can't change the situation. Another great one to talk about, since we're talking about health, is something like a health condition. So if someone has cancer, for example, they're going to address the cancer problem focused by getting their chemotherapy, their treatment, whatever they and their treatment team have decided. They also want to address the emotional aspect of it and changing their perspective. Instead of seeing it as a death sentence, seeing, you know, maybe that's not the case, or what else, what other positive events can they schedule in their life so that they bring their stress down, so that they have more joy in their life that will help them deal with the stress.
Well, what is your definition of happiness?
Yeah, you know, and I think that's really important, because a lot of times people look at me with this little smirk on their face like, oh, isn't that cute, happiness. And I think sometimes people think that happiness is just being childlike. It's just only seeing the good stuff in life. And that's part of it. But happiness is really an overall feeling of satisfaction. It's not the quick fix, the quick high. It's the feeling of satisfaction and overall joy, meaning in your life, a sense of purpose, and true gratitude. Being happy is applying your strengths. We all have certain strengths. We all have certain things that we would do forever if time and money weren't an option. So when we apply those strengths, when we apply our values, we have more happiness in our life. And the truly happy person knows that you're not happy all the time. The truly happy person knows it's okay to be sad sometimes and frustrated and worried and that kind of thing. The truly happy person uses those emotions. They experience those emotions, and then they say, okay, what am I going to do now? How am I going to change either my situation or my perspective right now to make things better?
Very, very good. We're with author, clinical psychologist, and physical therapist, Dr. Elizabeth Lombardo, here on eHealth Radio. On your website, there's a link titled Confidence Boosters. Share some of those, if you would.
Yeah, and before I do, if you don't mind, I just want to talk a little bit about why it's important. Self-confidence, believing in yourself and your self-worth, as well as believing in yourself and your ability to make positive changes. Both of those components of self-confidence are absolutely vital to happiness, to positive physical health, and to really any success that you're going to have in your life. And I'm not talking about narcissistic, egocentric, I'm the greatest thing in the world. I am talking about a belief in yourself, again, who you are as a person, and the fact that you can make positive changes. And it's a vital component of the happiness prescription, because we have to know that we are worth happiness. We have to know that we are worth something like asking for a job promotion, being assertive, that kind of thing. So confidence is really important to our psychological and physical health. And yeah, so I was interviewed very kindly by Danielle Pergamon, who's an author, or excuse me, a writer for Allure magazine, and this was in Allure, oh, I think in July. But some of the ones that I think are really important are accepting praise. And I think particularly women, although some men too, have problems accepting praise, saying thank you when someone gives you a compliment. That in and of itself is a big step for some people. Just give it a try. Even if someone compliments you and you don't necessarily believe it, just say thank you and go with that. Another one is working out. Now, I could probably spend about 3 days talking about how great working out is. And I say this from a perspective of when I was in high school, I used to say only half-heartedly that exercise was against my religion. I was not an exerciser. I didn't do it. I didn't like it. None of that. But the research overwhelmingly shows that not only does exercise boost our self-confidence, it helps us be happier. It reduces depression and stress. It helps us sleep better at night. It really is It really is a magic pill. So exercising is a great way to boost your confidence. And then another thing to do is to volunteer. Reaching out and helping out others. And it's a group about which you feel passionate. So for some people, it may be kids or the elderly or someone who's ill. It doesn't matter who, but someone about whom you feel very passionate, you want to help. Volunteering, reaching out and helping others really helps us feel good about ourselves.
Well, your book just cut off the press, A Happy You, Your Ultimate Prescription for Happiness. Fill us in a little bit what that details.
Yeah, so, you know, I think as a society, we're always looking for the happiness pill, right? Isn't
exactly.
That what we all would love to have? And so there isn't a pill, but this is a prescription. And it's an A to Z. Each chapter is a different letter. Each letter is something else you can do to enhance your happiness. And it really is all about how to have less stress and more happiness. It's very skills-oriented. So at the end of each chapter, there's actually an RX pad, a prescription pad of things you can do today that do not cost a thing, that do not take a lot of time, that will help you change your perspective, change your happiness, and change your life. And the reason why I wrote it on happiness, even though it certainly addresses the less stress too, is because I think, again, a lot of times that's what we're looking for. What people don't understand about happiness is not only will it bring you more joy, of course, not only does it reduce your depression and anxiety, but it affects positively every single aspect of your life. So your relationships get better. Your health is better. Research shows that your waistlines are smaller. People are happier. Are healthier and of a more healthy weight. You sleep better at night. You tend to be more productive at work. You tend to enjoy your work more, and that comes more from being happy first and then enjoying your work as opposed to the opposite. And people who are happier, the research overwhelmingly shows they live longer and more prosperous lives. So isn't that something we all would want?
Of course it is. It sounds like the great book to have as well. In conclusion, what can you leave in form of a tip or advice for our listeners?
Well, you know what? I think as a society, we have such a tendency to do what we call negative filtering, to focus on what's wrong, whether it's in our loved ones or our work or even when we walk by the mirror, we focus on what we don't like. And the challenge is to really start to focus on what you do like. And I'm not talking about being delusional, right? I'm not talking about, I'm so happy, my house just foreclosed. You know, not delusionally happy, but realistically happy. We've heard the age-old adage of glass half full, half empty, right? Half full and you're seen as an optimist, half empty you're seen as a pessimist. My question to you and the listeners is this: which is the truth? Which is the absolute truth? And of course the answer is both. It's both. So what I would love everyone out there to do, and this is what I encourage absolutely everyone to do, regardless of your health situation or your financial situation or your social situation, whatever it is, every single night before you go to bed, I want you to write down at least 3 positive things that happen. It doesn't have to be huge. It could be something small, like the sun was shining, or I had a great dinner, or I'm in bed at a good time. Whatever it is, 3 positive things that happened to you that day. Every single night before you bed, go to bed, write them down. It will take no more than 40 seconds. But if you do this over a 30-day period, I guarantee you, and it probably won't even take you that long, I guarantee you your happiness levels will start to improve.
Great stuff. Dr. Elizabeth, where can our listeners find you online?
They can go to my website, which is ahappyyou, so ahappyyou.com, and there are all kinds of free resources there, videos and worksheets to address this, and you can buy my book right there too.
Wonderful. Well, Dr. Elizabeth, we certainly thank you for joining us today and being a part of eHealth Radio.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
And that was author, clinical psychologist, and physical therapist Dr. Elizabeth Lombardo. And this is Eric Dye, and you've been listening to EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. This EPN special was brought to you by Audible.com, the Internet's leading provider of audiobooks with more than 75,000 downloadable titles across all types of literature, including fiction, nonfiction, and periodicals. For a free audiobook of your choice, visit audiblepodcast.com/EPN.
This is Todd Falcone. Join me for MLM Power Hour right here on EPN.
in my opinion, in my experience, a brand is much more than that, and something much deeper. And it's what's at the core of any business. And essentially, when you first decide that you're going to go into business, whether it's retail, whether it's B2B, whether it's anything, you have an idea, you have a concept, and the very idea of your business and its initial kind of genesis is usually what fuels the brand. That's really the DNA of the brand. And that has to do with what type of business you want to have, what's going to separate it from the rest, and what's going to make it valuable to customers or clients. And so you have that value, that importance is one element of it. The other one is the purpose, which actually might be the most important of the three. And the third one is the difference, the differentiation. What makes your business not only valuable and important, but what also makes it completely different and unique from your quote-unquote competition?
The ePodcast Network, supported by the most renowned success stories in business today. Subscribe today and never miss another show on EPN.